are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, we often wait for the big opportunities in order to make a difference in some way, right? But selfless service shows up in tiny, often invisible moments, whether that's listening or lifting or loving somebody else, right? It's not just about being a headline all the time. It's about being available. That's very important. And you don't need a stage or a microphone. You just need to show up and you just need to serve. So for everybody out there who's thinking, I cannot be of service because I don't have hero's cape, I'm just regular old me, this conversation should be a blessing to you. So please make sure that you engage with us on +27734703520. Pastor Manya joins us for the conversation. My pastor, good morning once again and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Good morning, Wangi. Thank you so much and good morning to all the listeners.
All right, Pastor, we are talking about, under the subject, not all heroes wear robes or they don't all wear capes. They just show up. Before we get into it, please open for us in prayer.
Let us pray. This morning, Lord, we are so grateful for the daily portion of the bread given to us, the guaranteed gift that you always care for us and you are able present to feed us in all manner of our need and meeting us at the point of need. As we discuss the focus for today, we ask for the Holy Spirit to inspire us even much deeper than we thought of the topic. Therefore, Lord, we ask that may somebody be blessed even as they listen this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, Pastor, why do we undervalue small acts of service compared to the big, public, dramatic ones that are often celebrated? Why is that?
Well, there's what is called a spotlight. Everyone of us would want to feel recognized, and we feel a sense of recognition as the big opportunity for people to really do put us in the right space, right position, and get to make us understand that big things are the only things that speak the loudest. The culture we have around us is that big things speak the loudest. But have you ever noted that much of the key components of certain big machines, the things that drive the fancy beauty bodies of maybe if I can give an example of a car. The beauty of a car may be limited to the fancy body that you see, the interior and everything, but that may not necessarily be the car itself. It is what drives it, what makes it move from point A to B. And if you looked at the components, they are very tiny components. Some of them you'd look at them to say that this is just some useless thing. But try to remove it and you see how just a small thing, small in your eyes, try to remove it and you see how this expensive car would lose its value just by that one small component. So sometimes we feel it's the big things that add value to us because they catch the wider spotlight, if I may say, I put it in that way. Mm-hmm. And just to add another thought, you know, the great results that people attain are not from they spring from the motives, which are more of an internal thing, things that are happening within you, mm-hmm. and not necessarily something that is outside you. We've heard quite a number of people who have taken up the big spaces, the spotlights, and at the end of the day, you realize that what the motive behind having the big stages before them or be on such platform is not essentially what is in them, and it has really robbed them of the value of why they were even there in the first place. Why they were even there in the first place.
That's a beautiful way of looking at it. I think the example that you gave of that tiny component, it reminds me of a story I heard of an aircraft which almost crashed, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think it actually did crash, but it almost crashed because of one loose screw. It was just one screw on a massive aircraft. One screw. In fact, the screw wasn't loose. It was just not the specific screw that was meant to be in that place. They just, the people who were repairing whatever the thing was got a screw that was not the specific one meant for that purpose. And so they just used a different one, and that nearly led to the aircraft crashing. That tiny little thing. And you can imagine.
Tiny.
So I think that's a beautiful way of looking at it, that those little things are very important. Even when you look at the human body and you look at the amount of pain. I had a toothache. I had a toothache last year. And I can remember the pain, my entire body. I couldn't think. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't do anything because of one tooth that
one tooth.
And so you can imagine, we have this value on the heart and on the, on the brain. And of course, these are important things. But I was almost taken out of here by a tooth.
Sure.
So that's a beautiful point. Now, Pastor, what is the impact of simply being present for someone in need? You know, we always want to do something dramatic. We want to help. We want to offer some kind of material gift. But what is the value of just being there, just being present?
Let me speak it up from Romans chapter 12, verse 15, where Paul says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. The Bible text is speaking to us to feel each other, feel in each other's needs, in each other's shoes, sympathize with those who are sorrowing, sympathize with those that have been tempted, those that are giving. Your presence may be a balm for those who are bruised, those who are wounded. And the impact really is felt when somebody is experiencing something that detaches them from society. You know, when somebody is going through a heartache moment, they when they begin to look at themselves through the situation, they feel no one can understand them, and if no one can understand them, no one can fit in their shoes, and if no one can fit in their shoes, then they feel a less need of other people to come to them. But when they see somebody who is sympathetic with them, coming with a heart of empathy to say, I hear you, possibly sharing a similar a situation that they had gone through as a means of reaching to their need, you realize that we begin to collaborate our emotions to fit in perfectly well those who feel rejected. I remember a situation of a person really who found themselves in a messed up situation, and in the church circles it would require a disciplinary issue. So when I called this person to the office, I said, I would love to see you. Literally, the person was kind of shaking. This person was shaking and what is it that the pastor is going to say? Me, I'm done. I think the church is everything and all that. Whilst the church has these disciplinary processes and everything, I came to understand that the only way this person can appreciate even the discipline of the church, as an example I'm using, is when I stand in to acknowledge or identify myself with him, with this brother who has done something that is shameful, that has messed up his life, and just tell him that you can still do even much better. Mm-hmm. And you don't be crushed. Don't be crushed by what has happened. You get to understand what has happened, but let it not crush you. Get to understand that I understand what you have done. Yeah. I understand what you have done, and I'm not condemning you, but I want you to know that I am understanding you. Mm-hmm. And I want you to tell me, speak your mind so that you can be free from the burden of the guilt that you are going through, mm-hmm. and be prepared to responsibly handle the things that you that are ahead of you because of what has happened. And you don't face them out of fear, but face them with the courage, knowing that you have found a better footing for yourself. Mm-hmm. So being present for somebody is far, far, far greater, because already certain situations, people get condemned. Yeah, people feel the world has crashed, has caved in on them. They've lost their loved one. They feel this is the end of everything. But you are there, you are out there. You can be a testament to somebody who has lost or both of their parents. The Lord has been faithful to you. You lost probably your parents at a very tender age, or maybe you even managed to see them, but today you are able to testify the faithfulness of God. There's somebody who needs your testament out there to just give them a pat on their back to say, I understand what you've gone through. I have gone through something similar. We may not carry the weight of the matter in the same way, but I share losing, and I know what it feels to lose, mm-hmm. but I can stand here for you. Sometimes, Wangi, it's you don't even need to say much. Some people just need to tell them, I'm praying for you, yeah. and you pray with them. Sure. You pray with them.
Yeah.
That's all. You don't even need to say much. You just need to say, okay, would you just allow me to pray with you in this situation? Mm. Yeah, I may not want to hear much about it, but just want to submit everything to yeah. God. Because certain people reach a point where they just throw in the towel on God, yeah. and everything is projected on God as the one who has failed them, one who has failed, can't come through for them. His awesomeness and powerfulness is limited to specific individuals, and they are out of that fence of God's providence. Mm-hmm. They are not favored at all. They would think and feel it in that way, but they need somebody who just hold them and maybe even just give them a phone call with a technology that is booming very well these yeah. days. You can even just drop in a text and tell them, assure them, I am there praying with you. Even better still, even a voice note. Mm-hmm. Just record that voice note so that they can hear you just praying for them and giving them words of encouragement.
Beautiful. I love that. And I love the idea of not just saying, I will pray for you, but to actually do it and let them know sure. that you're doing it. Because I think, I know, speaking from my own personal experience, there are times where I have felt strengthened even before a situation has been resolved by just the mm-hmm. prayer itself. The prayer itself makes me feel stronger. It makes me feel, you know, empowered and encouraged and more positive about a situation, even when the situation has not yet changed. I've still got the problem yes. that was bothering me is still there, but
yes.
there's a power that you receive when you pray.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Now, how can we train ourselves, Pastor, to notice everyday opportunities to serve just all around us, different ways that God allows us to serve? How do we keep our eyes open for that?
Thank you so much. This is very, very, this part is very, very interesting, because the question that you've really brought to my, to the discussion is, giving us a need to be intentional about sourcing opportunities for service. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whilst we feel opportunities of service are contained in programs, I would want to clearly suggest that service is a lifestyle.
Mm. Amen.
It's a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It's, it's our everyday experience. Yeah. And for those who are committed to Christ, to God, who have the faith and have this religion affiliation to believe that God is there, we would appreciate to say, as you wake up, ask or pray to God and say, God, what is my my opportunity of service today? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Open my eyes to see even just one or any or whatever opportunities are there for me to serve. And you realize that the very point you've been passing every day, the same route you've been using, mm-hmm. has a lot of opportunities for you to serve. You may be driving, some of us who just need maybe to deliver a book. So you buy books, you put in your car, as you move, you give somebody, oh, here's a book, good morning. And I learned something some time ago. Mm-hmm. I learned something that some people in this world just want you to smile at them and greet them. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. energetic a greeting with a wide smile of hope. You just do that. Because we are too busy, we are so busy, such that even the courtesy of giving a genuine smile is not there. We just bypass, hi, and you are off. You really don't have time. You really don't have time. You are there on your phone, you are just moving, so just mind your own business and everything. You are glued. Unless you just hear maybe a bang, then you are like, what is happening? So many other things that even opportunities of service have been swallowed up by the busyness of the world. But if we are to be of quality service, we have to wake up with a mind knowing that service is a lifestyle. It's not just a one day's project or program where we say, okay, fine, we're meeting as a church, or we're meeting as a school, we're meeting as a group, we're meeting as a company, then to do everything. But you need to realize that the joy and the intention of God including service in our life is not just, it is part of our day-to-day living. Because every day there are opportunities. And there is in the book, The Ministry of Healing, we are taught, page 143, we are taught that Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. And how did Jesus do this? He mingled. He mingled. Some of us, our mingling is just weekends. But I think the mingling that Jesus, the book is talking about, the Ministry of Eden is talking about, is not just an intended social outing, which is also restricted to your preferences. Yeah. But this is about knowing that I'm living in the space of other people. Mm. There are other people that are there that are more privileged, that are that I can relate with. I can share the privileges of life that I have. I can share with them. So some people who require my sacrifice by denying myself something for them to be happy for that day. Yeah, for them to be happy for that day. Someone who just want, someone who just need, okay, you've packed your lunch for work, but there's somebody who really needs that lunch more than you do. And you can only see that they need it more than you do if you have your mind and your eyes fixed to see exactly who that person is. And the Lord will dearly show you to say, here, this is the way. Are you mingling? Are you able to see, to take notice of the needs of the people that are there? If you are not deliberate about it, it will just remain a specified program that has no intended impact in your life, because it will just be a report. Oh, we did such a mega thing, and we report figures, and at the end of the day, yourself, you have no connection to do it on your own, because this is a lifestyle. Yeah. This is a daily lifestyle. And in fact, if it becomes a daily lifestyle, we can even advance even in certain programming, because you will know that, oh, I have colleagues who always use this path, we always use this area to do ABCD, but I've noticed ABCD who I can also incorporate. And this is the part, how we can impact by training ourselves to notice all these opportunities and recruit as many others to see the very opportunities who are more advantaged probably than yourself.
Amen.
Who are in a better position than yourself can be attracted when we mingle in the manner in which Christ Jesus did with the people, even before he bade them to do what? To follow him.
Yeah, that intentionality, I think, is where some of us fall short, because we expect that the opportunities will jump into our faces, but we are not looking for them. We expect that it'll be something very drastic, or someone will approach us and make it obvious to us, but we're not out there looking for the opportunity to serve.
Sure, and this agrees with what Philippians chapter 2 verse 4 says, that let each one of you not look into our own interests, but also in the interests of others.
Yes, beautiful. Sure. Now, do we sometimes serve only when it's convenient or visible? I think that the answer there is an obvious one, but why would you say that we do that? Only when it's convenient, only if it's not going to put me out, even when it comes to giving someone money, only if I've got extra. But to say I'm going to give you the jacket off my back, I'm going to give you my meal that I was planning to eat, not so sure about that. Why are we like that?
Well, I think springing from the discussion yesterday, we can talk about selfishness. And sometimes, of course, we are community sensitive of the things that are happening that could be contributing to some of these realities.
Hello, Pastor.
Of helping, you know.
Hello, Pastor Manya. Ooh, it looks like we're having some trouble with our line there. Let's see what we can do about that. Pastor, if you can hear me, I am going to hang up this call and I'm going to try and call you back. Hopefully we'll be able to hear the pastor clearly there. We were just about to talk about why it is that it's so difficult for us to be selfless. We know what we're supposed to do, but if it means that it's going to inconvenience me in some way, and in most cases, count me out. I'm not coming, right? If it means going out of my way, if it means inconveniencing myself or sacrificing, giving something that I still want, something that I'm still using, something that I still like, then that's a problem. I'm happy to give you the clothes I'm not using anymore. I'm happy to give you any food that I might have that I was not planning to eat. I'm happy to give you any extra cash I have lying around. But if it's going to interfere with my budget, if it's going to interfere with my plans, then that's a problem. And I'm not interested. That's a problem, right? For us as Christians, that's not the way we're supposed to be living. It has to do with selflessness to the point where you almost, even inconvenience yourself. That's what it's supposed to look like. Not just when it's convenient, and also not just when it's visible. That means not just when you're going to get something in return in the form of praise or worldly applause, just to give for the sake of giving. This goes back to what we were saying earlier on when we're talking about beauty standards and having God as the one to decide what the standard is, and the fact that he has created you in his image, that should be good enough, right? And in the same way, if our standard is God, then that should be good enough. Let's see if we can get the pastor back on the line. My pastor, can you hear me clearly?
I don't know what's happening with the network here. It seems to be not holding on well.
That's fine. At least we can get you back. But you were about to tell us why it is that we seem more comfortable serving only when it's convenient or when it's visible.
Oh, yes. So we find that sometimes society norms seem to contradict with certain practices of kindness or service, because there are certain protocols or routine ways of trying to handle. So there are cultural norms in which somebody has to fit in as offering an acceptable service. And this is where it is important for us to understand that the key component here we are dealing with is the practice. Practice of service. It's a practice of service which needs to be, which needs not to be denied, but should be, should incarnate with the acceptable ways, that are practiced possibly in the particular region. So countries vary in the way they look at kindness or services of service of kindness. The practices differ, but I'm made to be convinced that there is no region in this world that has no that doesn't practice acts of service.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm made to be convinced. I beg to be corrected. But it looks like in every culture, there are always these available pockets where somebody can effectively participate and be of service to people. What is also important and key here, as we are looking at the convenience of serving, is that the goal is not for you to be noticed so that you gain certain recognition and favor.
Yeah.
But it is, yeah. But it is about having a clear approval that does not really just come from man, but the approval that comes from God. Matthew 6 verse 1 gives us a warning that as we practice acts of service, we should beware of practicing our righteousness before people, before other people, to be seen by them. But you are doing it for them, but don't do it to show off.
Yeah.
So that they can confirm that you are doing it. Do it because you have realized their need and you are able to synthesize to synthesize yourself or incarnate yourself in the needs of other people, and you are available to offer that quality of service, not as an excuse of pride, but as a means of the humility to meet the needs of humanity.
Mm, sure, that's powerful. And as we wrap up our conversation, Pastor, how can we reflect Jesus more by our consistency and by being humble helpers? All right, it looks like we have lost the pastor yet again. Pastor Manya, are you still there? All right, it looks like we've lost the pastor. But I guess we've come to the end. We'll see if we can connect with him just for that final question. But we wanted to talk about how we can reflect Jesus more by our consistency and by being humble helpers. How exactly do we go about doing that? And if you have any thoughts on that, just let me know on +27734703520. And we'll be happy to share your comments and your thoughts on the subject. But that was Pastor Manya there giving us our deep dive, speaking about selflessness, the joy of selfless service, and of course, the importance of focusing on some of the simple and small ways that we can be of service to the community around us, all right?
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.